This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Morning. So 2 weeks ago, Pastor asked me when I was coming and preaching again. I told him, I said, whenever you need me to. Try to leave it a little open-ended. I'm not going to give a time frame. And so he said, what about 2 weeks? I said, okay. He said, do you want to preach morning or night? Well, I was expecting night. So he said, we're going to make you preach in the morning. I said, okay, no pressure, right? He said, oh, no, all the pressure. I said, okay, all right. So if you would, if you'll turn to 1 Peter 2:9. All right, and the Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for the day you've given us thus far. Just want to thank you for the opportunity to get up here and preach your word. Just ask that you give me your words to say, not mine. And just ask that you open everybody's hearts and everybody be attentive. And just ask that you get glory in this. And just that everybody know that this is to praise and honor you. And just ask that you be with me as I bring forth this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So a couple things I want to focus on this verse right here. I'm going to focus on two different things. But I want to start with the end right here, where it says that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So God has called you out of darkness and into marvelous light. So the things I have written down here is we were all born sinners. So we read a verse actually in Sunday school where Jesus heals a blind man, and it says that he was born blind, and that's all of us, right? We're born blind, we're born into darkness, and we're in the world. So the Lord wants to take you out of that, and if you're saved, then He's calling you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. But it says that He's calling you, not that He's making you do it. So you're still in the world, and you're going to be walking with God towards that light, and you're supposed to reflect God's light. So you have to take the first step. God's not going to make you do it. So that's one thing I wanted to point out. And so got a verse to pair with it here. Got a little crazy with my notes here. So one reason why, we'll go to Matthew 5. Had a last minute change up on where I wanted to put things, so I got arrows all on my notes. So Matthew 5:14, we also went over this verse in Sunday school. I was afraid Mr. Rockwell might go ahead and just preach the whole thing there, and I was going to let him just come up here and repeat it, but he went a little bit of a different way. So Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So right here, you're the light of the world, but it's reflecting God's light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we're supposed to reflect that light. We're not supposed to hide it. We're supposed to let people see it. So going back to our first verse in 1 Peter, then He's calling you out of the darkness. And as you move through that darkness, as you move through the world and you're reflecting the light of Christ, people are supposed to see that. People are supposed to see that, and you're supposed to be looking at that. You're reflecting Christ, and you're supposed to be able to give that light to other people, or at least share the gospel with them so that they can have that light as well, so that they can move through the darkness. So the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? So the Lord lights your path. You walk that way, and you're not supposed to hide that light. You're supposed to share the gospel. You're supposed to share it with people and then they'll follow Christ. So the word of the Lord never returns void, right? So that's just the first part of my message here. I want to go back to our verse in 1 Peter. I should have had you guys keep your place there. But right here is actually where I was going to start my message, but as I read it, just that part where marvelous light, the Lord is pulling you out of darkness, I felt I needed to touch on that. So what started this whole message was actually this little verse, and I heard Pastor actually preach on this, one of the first messages that when I came to this church that Pastor preached on. And I don't know why it stuck with me, but these two words have stuck with me all since, you know, the 10, 11, 12 years that I've been in this church, is this peculiar people. So, you know, everybody's afraid to be different, right? But we're supposed to be a little odd. So I hope all of you here are peculiar people. Hope we're a little strange, right? So the Lord tells us to be a peculiar people because we're not supposed to do things like normal. The Lord asked some of his disciples to do some pretty strange things. And if you read in the Old Testament, some pretty crazy things happen. You're like, oh man, even this instance we read in Sunday school where the Lord healed this blind man, the way he healed him, he could have done it any way, but he spat on some clay and he put it on the man's eyes and told him to go wash. The Lord could have healed him in any number of ways, but he chose to do that, right? So we're supposed to be like Christ, so we're supposed to be a little peculiar. Right. So you have the world's people. They all want to be different. They all want to be individuals. And I was talking a little bit last night about this, is everybody says, oh, I'm going to go get tattoos, I'm going to go get piercings, I'm going to dye my hair crazy colors, I'm going to say and do all these crazy things because I want to be different. But everybody's doing the same things. So if we're supposed to be a peculiar people, we're supposed to stand out. You see all these people that all look the same, they've all got this craziness going on, and if you see somebody in a suit and tie and or in church, that person's a little weird. So what used to be the norm is not the norm. We are the peculiar people. So the Lord wants us to stand out, and he wants people to ask us questions and so that we can shine that light and give his gospel. So if you guys would turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. So I'm going to read here in verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's close to Thanksgiving. So this is where I want to park the peculiar people. We're supposed to give thanks in everything. So in the world today, when everybody gets together and they want to meet at bars or go drinking or whatever, misery loves company. So everybody gets together, they complain. They have nothing good to say. They want to complain about politics, or they want to complain about their car, or they want to complain about their job, or whatever the case may be. But we're supposed to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God, Christ concerning you. So I want to explain a little about that in detail a little bit later. But I'm going to have everybody turn to Colossians. Colossians 3. So read here, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So right here, you have a couple of times it mentions the heart. So the heart is desperately wicked, right? That's man's heart. You're supposed to fill it with godly things. So let your let the peace of God rule in your heart. So you let God rule over your heart. Let the word of God dwell richly in all wisdom. And then I also want to read, we'll read verse 17 as well. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So the thing is, we're supposed to be thankful, but we're supposed to be thankful to the Lord. And we're supposed to do all things and what we say for the Lord. So when you say something or you do something, it's not necessarily for the person that you're doing it for, or when you go to work, yes, you work for a company or maybe you have your own business, but you're working for the Lord. You're supposed to still be reflecting that light in the darkness, because people are supposed to see Jesus Christ through us, right? So sometimes that means maybe we're having a bad day, or maybe things are going bad at work, but we're still supposed to be thankful, and that makes us a little peculiar, right? When things are going bad, what is the common thing? Just get mad, throw something, you know, speak profanities, whatever the case may be. That's the norm, but we're not supposed to be that. We're supposed to be those peculiar people. I actually mentioned last night as well, I was talking about work. People do it, making fun of me a little bit, but I'm okay with it. So I don't curse. I might have other things I say that people think are funny that sound completely ridiculous, but in my head I'm mad and this is what I'm saying. Right? So to me it makes perfect sense, but to most people it's completely ridiculous. So when I started working where I am now, I would say things and people would look at me like I'm silly. Now I have some people repeating those things instead of cursing. Right? So I work around a bunch of truckers. That's all you hear. And now, even when I'm not around, sometimes you'll hear, or they don't know I'm around, you'll hear these goofy things that I say, and now when I hear somebody else say it, I'm like... So, and of course, they started out making fun of me, but now it's, you know, the alternative, and I'm okay with that. So, I want to also have you turn over here to Psalms 106. So Psalms 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for he is his mercy endureth forever. So right there you have another giving of thanks to God. And just over the last week, we had a little event at my house last night with people. And there's a lot of verses on being thankful and pilgrims and a lot of praising of the Lord. In Sunday school, there was a lot of this as well, just giving glory to God. And you're supposed to give honor to the Lord, and he's supposed to get that glory in giving of thanks, right? We've got Thanksgiving coming up, and most people are going to be about football or turkey or whatever the case may be, right? But what is Thanksgiving supposed to be? It's giving of thanks. So what are we thankful for, right? I mean, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done for me, and we're supposed to show that. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. So right here, you have, yes, we're thankful, but then you have kind of a promise there with the Lord that his mercies endureth forever. So, I mean, I think that's something to be thankful for, rather than your sports team winning or whatever people want to talk about. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but just don't put it before God. So, just, I mean, be thankful. I mean, it's pretty simple, but I want to go back to this 1 Thessalonians verse, verses that I read, that 5 through 18. You don't have to turn there, just that rejoice evermore, and everything give thanks. And then I want to clarify that. It doesn't say be thankful for everything. It says in everything give thanks. So I thought about this for a little while, and I was like, man, it's really hard to think about when something bad happens that you have to be thankful for. The Lord just wants you just to accept and be thankful for everything, right? And he does. But I thought back a little bit on how a situation plays out, right? So I have two very different examples here, and I want to make it real for everybody, and I'm going to use a very personal example, and I think that's how we should be when we approach the Bible. When God gives us something, we should make it personal, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? Well, that can be God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. So I think it's good to make it personal. I'm going to make this use two personal examples, show you kind of how I looked at it, and then hopefully you guys will do the same. So, I've got two stories here. One was a little bit further back. I was still new to coming to this church, so I was a teenager, and we were doing a soul witnessing program. We were starting to knock on doors, and so it was on Saturday. Well, I got off early Saturday mornings from work, and I thought, well, you know what? Lord's kind of convicting me about this. It's right about the time I get off work. I can probably make it. So I was like, okay. I'm a teenager, you know. This is not my thing. It's out of my comfort zone. But the Lord was convicting me on it. So it's okay. So I showed up. And there was a group of people. We had a little prayer meeting. And then we kind of went over the neighborhoods that we were going to go to and knock on people's doors, and we paired up with people. Well, I'm a rookie at this. I've not knocked on anybody's doors. I pretty much only talked to people when I knew that they were Christians because I didn't want to offend anybody, right? So I got paired up with Brother Danny, who used to go here. And he finishes out his prayer. He didn't know who was going to be paired up with him. And the first thing he says, I just want to go ahead and apologize for anybody who's paired up with me. And I was like, oh, why is that? So he said, well, you know, there's a story that I made fun of somebody who got a real mean person that answered the door one of my first time soul witnessing. So since then, I get all the mean people. So I was like, oh, this is going to be good. So the first door that I knocked on, he said, go ahead and knock on the door. First door. Knock on it. There was a no soliciting sign. Well, we weren't selling anything. We're giving stuff. So, you know, I thought it was all right. This guy came out of the door. We told him we were from a church, and he wouldn't even let us get any further. He pushed us off his front porch, yelling all kind of profanities, telling us to get off his property, and threatened us, all this stuff. So we walked down, go to the next house. He stood out in the street and followed us down that whole street the whole time, yelling these profanities and threatening us. We got on the next street, and then everything was fine. So I don't know why, but I came back next week to do it again. But it's because at that time I was not thankful for the man that was yelling at us and threatening us and so on. But after that, well, I mean, we got the worst out of the way, right? What else could go wrong? There's nothing to worry about. I've already seen this guy. So in everything, give thanks. So that's made me more bold, even at work, because that one guy thought he was doing something real negative. And maybe at the time it was, but then now I'm up here giving forth the gospel to you guys, which still slightly terrified, but I'm doing it. But that's how the Lord works, right? So in everything, give thanks. So that's one example I have. And then the other example I have is actually very recent. So I decided I was going to date this girl, and I was going to pick her up for our first date. It was after work. I had a few hours or whatever, and I work pretty far away. It takes about an hour to get to where I work. So I knew that I had enough time to get off work, take a shower, go pick her up. And so I worked a long shift. Saturday's normally my long day, so things went wrong. You know, that's how it goes, right? And so I think it was like a 10 or 12-hour shift. I get in my car, hit the little button to start it. Car is completely dead. So I was like, well, and that's kind of... Put my head on the steering wheel for a minute. I was like, man, never had this problem with battery. Battery should be good. And I got to thinking, I was like, well, I did buy this car, and I haven't changed the battery yet. Well, it turns out I left the lights on, so it's my fault. But my battery died. I'm not thankful the battery died. I had to wait for somebody to come out. They had to jump start my car. I drove it to, like, AutoZone and had them replace the battery. So I'm not necessarily thankful that my car died and that I had to replace the battery and spend money and so on. But as I'm sitting there waiting for them to put the battery in, this guy pulls up, and I don't know why, but he was same car as me, and I just mentioned, I was like, oh, you know, we had to park next to each other because we have the same cars. Just making conversation with somebody random, right? This guy sat there the whole time that the guy at the shop was changing the battery and doing stuff, and we talked, and I actually got to witness to him and give him the gospel. So, not thankful that my battery died, but if my battery wouldn't have died, then I might not have been there to give this guy the gospel. So I wasn't thankful for necessarily my battery dying, but I was thankful for the situation and the result. So I wanted to clarify that with, in everything, give thanks. And then also rejoice evermore. Because the Lord can take something bad or something aggravating and can do something great with it. So I have that in here, this rejoice evermore. So I put a few things. These are a few things that might aggravate people. You know, and for me, it's not the big things that actually aggravate me. It's the small things, right? It's the smallest things to me that are the most aggravating. So I put in here, if you lose your keys, right? If you lose your keys and you're looking all around for them, I think they made the cars with the whole, if your keys are within a certain vicinity, your car can't lock. I think they made them for me. So things like that. If you drop your phone, it cracks, it gets busted, things like that. That's aggravating. Or maybe your alarm not going off, right? So I put in here just a few things. If you can't find your keys, maybe the Lord wants you to stay and spend some time in His Word, right? If you drop and crack your phone, maybe you need to be off your phone and spending time with God. So these are little things that you could look at. There's other things that you can do. And then for your alarm, I mean, I don't have anything for that, but going back to the story of the first date when I went to go pick up this girl, she also works an overnight shift. So I showed up thinking, I was like, oh man, I'm going to be late. Her alarm didn't go off, so she had no idea that I was actually late. So little things like that the Lord does too, just to kind of make you laugh. But it's the little things that always get to me. But in these situations when they come up, God gives us these opportunities, and we need to take them, right? Even if I just would have spoke to this guy, who's a complete stranger that walked up, then even if I just would have spoke to him and said something, I could just let him walk out. But the Lord gave that opportunity, and we're supposed to be pulled from that darkness to light, and we're supposed to reflect that light of Christ and giving that gospel, and we're supposed to be reflecting and sharing that word with people. So then I chose those two examples because had the guy that I knocked on his door maybe not yelled at me, then would I have been as bold as I am now to share the gospel with this random stranger? So two very different instances in which you can link together. And I think if we all take some time to look back at maybe bad situations, we can see a good outcome, or maybe we see a missed opportunity so that we can learn from it and then go from there. So, put a couple things in here, and I want to put, this is why we're odd. It's not about us, it's about God. Right. So, it inconvenienced me in both those situations, but it wasn't about me, it was about God. So, the world would have you think that it's all about you, and all about what you want, and instant gratification. That's the world we live in, but it's not. Sometimes, things happen that may inconvenience you, and it has nothing to do with you. May inconvenience you so that someone can hear the gospel, or to put you in a situation where you can witness to somebody, because it's not about us, it's about God, and it's about giving glory to God as well. Good. So, if you would, turn to 1 Peter 4. So, 1 Peter 4:12. So, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happen unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as ye are partakers in Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. That's weird, right? That's peculiar, and that's what we're supposed to be. So, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. So they may speak evil of the Lord Jesus Christ, but on their end, but on your end, you're glorifying him. And that's what it's about. It's about glorifying God. So, good. We'll keep reading in 15. And 16. But let none of your suffering as murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So that just goes right along with it. We're supposed to glorify God. And really and truly, what can men do to us, right? We get so worried about what people and what men will do that we forget the big picture, that it's not about us, it's about God. We're supposed to bring that glory to God, and we're supposed to reflect God's glory to other people so that they can glorify him. And that process should repeat. So, if you would, turn to Psalms. So, hopefully you guys are keeping up, not trying to throw too many verses out here at you guys. All right, Psalms 50:15. So right here, the Bible says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So right there, if you get in trouble, it says, call on me, and I'll deliver you, and you'll glorify me. Right? So we've got to commandment there that we're supposed to glorify God, but then he'll deliver us. So any of these troublesome situations, you get somebody yelling at you, you know, you have an issue, whatever it may be. I'll be honest, at work, I'm not sure half the time how I still have a job with some of the conversations I've gotten with people, and I'm just very open about things, and the Lord has provided those opportunities, and I'm thankful for where I work now because there are a lot of people that are Christians and that I can talk openly with, and that people passing by will hear these conversations, and that right there is a witness to them as well, right? And the thing is, the modern belief right now is that if you're a Christian, if you go to church, you can't have any fun, right? You're boring. You can't do anything. Because there, God does give us a list of instructions, and we should follow them. But he also gives us a list of things we can do, right? And here we are, as a group of us at work, and we're laughing, and we're talking about the Lord, and we're having a good time, right? Or even last night at my house, we had people over, and we were talking about the Lord, and we were all having a good time. So let people say what they want to say. If you get in trouble, don't worry, the Lord will pull you out of that trouble, and then you can give him the honor and glory, and you can tell somebody about that, right? So, we're supposed to be a peculiar people, supposed to be a little bit odd, a little strange, and so just wanted to show you right here in Matthew 3. Matthew 3, 4. So this is about John the Baptist. You want to talk about peculiar people. So, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and his leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. So here's this guy wearing camel's hair and he goes around eating just locusts and honey. So maybe I could be wrong about this. My image here is you've got John the Baptist. He's looking a little crazy. And he comes up and he just grabs a locust on the ground, dips it in some honey, and eats it. So it may not have been that extreme, but that's what it kind of sounds like. So that's peculiar. That's a little odd. The Lord is not asking us to do that. Okay? The Lord is not asking us to be peculiar and we have to go around eating the locust. He's asking us to be a little peculiar in the eyes of society, right? We don't do the typical norm. Right. We don't just follow trends because they're trends. We don't shy away from things. You hear the things that you shouldn't talk about are politics and religion, right? As to where the Bible tells you, go and preach the gospel unto every creature, so that's what we should be talking about. We go and we make sure we talk about religion, and that can get you in some trouble, but we have to praise the Lord for it, right? And that makes us peculiar people. Because that's what the Lord has asked us to do. So maybe not physically peculiar as John the Baptist here, but spiritually peculiar, right? So want to make that right there. You don't have to be crazy. Brandon did a little devotional. We were doing pilgrims and pilgrimage for a little Thanksgiving kind of devotional, and he mentioned that when you think of pilgrim, what do you think of? And he mentioned the chubby pilgrims wearing the black suit, and they've got this crazy hat with the buckle on it. And he stopped and he said, why do they have a buckle on their hat? What is the purpose of that? Right? And it was just kind of a moment. It's like, oh, that's true. I never thought about it. I don't feel like it doesn't serve any purpose. But you can recognize what the world wants you to see a pilgrim as to what they wear, right? Well, we wear putting on a new body, right? Spiritually, we should be noticed by what we wear. So people should be able to look at us and see that there is a difference and notice that we are Christians. And not the world's view of Christians with this crazy rock music and really and truly where it looks like the world on the inside. It should look like something that honors and glorifies God. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be those Christians that are going away from the darkness towards light, not the other way around. So, want to go over just kind of a brief overview in closing. So, if you're saved, the question I want to ask is, are you a peculiar person? Are you a little strange? And in the world today, I can't say that. I have to say, are you different? Because, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. So, but no, are you a peculiar person? Are you different? So, kind of the three main things I wanted to point to with this message is, are you still living in darkness? So, if you're saved, the Lord's called you out of that darkness. What are you still doing living in the darkness? He's called you out. He's not going to make you do it. Are you going to take that first step and step out of the darkness and start walking with God and start reflecting His light and sharing His gospel? Second point would be, are you thankful? So now that you're walking with the Lord, are you thankful in what He's doing for you? Are you able to take those situations that maybe seem bad, and they may seem like Satan is doing something to mess with you or get under your skin, even in the small things, and are you able to look at those and see God in those things? Because God is everywhere, and everything is ordained by Him. So He's there, and He gives you those opportunities to take those bad things and turn them into something good. So are we thankful? So when thinking about that, just the verses that I read, if you were taking notes, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it was rejoice evermore, be thankful in everything. Colossians, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Psalms, praise the Lord, His mercies endureth. That's Psalms 106 and Psalm 50. Call on the Lord, He will deliver you. I mean, He delivered me. So, amen. He can do that with anybody. So, that's my in closing. Oh, I'm sorry. Point three. Give the glory to God. Even in the bad situations, the Lord is using it in some way. So are you giving glory to God? So that's the saved person. Now, if you're lost, I want to ask, if you're here without Christ and you're honest with yourself, you're in the darkness. You're spiritually blind, and the world has you in chains, and the world wants to keep you in that darkness.
Right.
So I've mentioned a few things on salvation. A good verse to go to, obviously, is John 3:16. I think that's a well-known verse by everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we're supposed to be like God. Well, right here, God's a bit peculiar. He gave His only begotten Son to save you. So if you accept that, then you can start being called out of the darkness and into light. So that's what I have. I hope that spoke to your hearts, and hopefully we can be thankful about things, and hopefully we can give glory to God, and we can share that with other people. So, Pastor.
Okay, simplicity is never simple. And the admonitions that are in Scripture are very simple. And to live them is not simple. So I found that the Lord tests you and me on messages that are preached sometimes before you hit the door or later. And something's going to happen to somebody, and they're going to be really tested on being thankful. The story's told of the man who ultimately became wrote commentaries on the Bible, Matthew Henry. And he was walking home one late afternoon, and he was met by a guy that came around the corner with a knife. And he said, "Give me your wallet or your life." And so he gave him his wallet, and he took off and ran away. Well, Matthew Henry recounts the story, and he said, "I'm really thankful because there was nothing in my wallet. I'm thankful that he didn't kill me, but if he had, I would have gone to heaven. So I'm thankful that I'm saved." There are things you can be thankful for in bad situations. But many times, I don't know how he first reacted. I'm sure he was scared. But there are occasions when you are defeated, and you can, like he said, you don't have to be thankful for that thing, but you can give thanks for the situation because something always materializes after that in some way or another. It's hard. How can you explain it? You can't. When we were in Bible college, we were walking down. It was the college was on the ocean, and there was a thing called the Broadwalk. And so Linda and I were walking, and we started talking to these people from Canada. And they asked about the college and about us, and we're witnessing to them. And they said, well, how do you live? And I said, well, I load trucks at night. My wife works at the same terminal and she does the billing. And he says, well, what do you make? So we told him. And he says, well, how do you live? Because we had two of the kids by then. And we lived in the city. And I said, well, it's hard to explain. As a matter of fact, I can't explain it. But the Lord always provides enough for us to get by. I said, we've never had to go out and hold signs and said, hungry, you know, anything like that. The Lord always brought, and they could not understand that. I can't explain that. And we've operated our lives on the same principle, is that the Lord will provide. We don't concern ourselves with the money situation. The Lord will provide that. The Lord will provide the people. The Lord will provide the opportunities. So what we have to do is be faithful in all of those and take advantage of that. So even though things look bad, just maybe look around a little bit and some good will come out of it. Good message. I really appreciate it. If you're here without Christ and you die in that situation, there's nothing good that I can tell you. There's no good that can come out of a life that is lost and dies and goes to hell for all eternity. Take advantage of the opportunity that you're given now, because you may not get another one. And for we who are saved, it's easy to read these verses. We go over them year after year. Sometimes you read them to yourselves and in your devotions and so forth. It's a different story to practice it. So what I've found, and sometimes don't always live up to it, is you have to have a predetermined dedication to keep certain passages of Scripture, to do certain things in light of things that come at you. And if you're predetermined to do that, in all likelihood, you'll do it. Without thinking, I don't want to get crazy here, but without thinking, how many of you brushed your teeth this morning? Probably didn't think about it. You know why? Because it's a predetermined dedication to do that. You think that's a part of hygiene and so forth. And after a while, that's the way it works spiritually. You don't think about it because this is who you are. This is who you've become. You've grown. And in growing, the growing never stops. And if the Lord tarries next year, you may be much closer to Him. And the things you have to think about today, you may not think about then. So whatever the Lord's put on your heart this morning, if you have issues and you need to come and pray, or you just want to come and the Lord spoke differently to you, you may be here, not a member of this church. You're visiting. We're glad you're visiting. Love having you here. The Lord puts the conviction to be a part of this local church. Let that intent be made known. Same thing with being baptized. Baptism is after salvation, and it's by immersion. It has nothing to do with being saved. It has everything to do with identification. And as John was saying, if we're peculiar people, then we should manifest that in identification. And today it's very difficult to tell on the surface who is and who isn't, because everything has blended together. And everybody looks the same for the most part, except the peculiar people. I'm not talking about the weird people. I'm not talking about the cultic people, but the peculiar people, which we're supposed to be. So let's pray, and we'll have the invitation. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the messenger, the message you put on his heart, and for what you're doing in our lives here this morning. We're grateful to hear from you and to be able to examine our lives by your standards, by your commands. And I pray that we would do the right thing here this morning. Have your way in the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, invitation is hymn number 316.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.